Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you come with me again? And we're going to be studying Ephesians 5, but I want to meet you in Genesis 2, verse 18. We'll start in Genesis 2, verse 18. It will also be very helpful if you will find this piece of paper entitled, Discovering Your Priceless Treasures in Christ, God's Blueprints for Healthy Families. God's Blueprints for Healthy Families. That's what we're going to do, is we want to consult the original blueprint today. What is the divine design for healthy relationships, for marriages, for the family? Let me take just a moment and give you a little insight about me, so maybe you'll hear this differently. I have a number of strong suits and a lot of weak suits, but my strongest strong suit is relationships. I love the Lord, so I love people. I'm pretty simple. If you love Jesus, you ought to love the people that He made. And so I have this ability to relate to all types of people. Sometimes when I get on an airplane, I'll sit down beside somebody and they'll say, sir, what do you do? And I've discovered that if you tell them that you're a Baptist pastor, just right off, they'll go to the restroom for the whole flight. And I don't want to run people off or have them jump. So I kind of do an end around and I'll say, well, I'm a relationship engineer. Oh, that will pique their curiosity. A relationship engineer. Tell me more. And I'll explain that I help people develop a relationship to God, themselves, and others. And it gives me a chance to explain Matthew 22:37, because Jesus said that is the summa bonum of life. That is the paramount goal that we should have. We should love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and then love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So that's what I help people do, develop that relationship to God. Then you got to have a healthy self-love, or you don't have anything to give to others. You just spend your whole life taking from others. That's how it really works. So that's what I do. But with that as background, let's do a little relationship engineering today. The Scripture says in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. So it's important that we understand how God wired His world. And His construction blueprint is right here in His Word. So would you make this note? Let's start by seeing the big picture. Let's start by seeing the big picture, and we'll discover this in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Now, here's the big picture, and here's my premise. I always have a singular premise. My premise is that God is real and His Word is true. Now get that embedded in your heart. God is real and His Word is true. So since God is real and His Word is true, you can trust it and you can let His Word become your compass to navigate the difficulties of this fallen world. Now the Bible says that God created everything and He crowned His creation by making a man named Adam. Adam is the Hebrew word for the red earth, Adam. Maybe Adam was from Alabama, good old redneck, you know, a little red dirt behind his collar. So you've got Adam, and then the Bible says that after He made Adam, there was something missing. Adam felt alone. Look at Genesis 2:18. Look at Genesis 2:18. And the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Now, He had made everything else, and there was this chorus, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good, seven times. And then Adam's aloneness is not God's divine design. He said, it is not good. So look what He did. Look at verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh at that place, and the Lord fashioned into a woman the rib which He had taken from the man. And he brought her to the man, and he presented her. This was the first look. This was the reveal. And the man said, oh, whoa, 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 man. That's what he said. That's a loose Hebrew translation. He says, this is bone of my bones. This is flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called, whoa, man, because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Look at verse 25. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Now come back over to Ephesians chapter 5, our point of study. Ephesians chapter 5. And what we're going to look at is more illumination on the divine design. Now, the scripture says in Genesis, after God had made everything, that he crowned his creation with a man, and then he made a woman. And in the sinless tranquility of the Garden of Eden, he conducted a marriage ceremony, and that was the first family. Now, don't miss this. Before God created government, before God created a medical institution or a university for education, or the military for protection, before he created the church, what did he make? He made a family. He made a family composed of a man and a woman. It was Adam and Eve. It wasn't Adam and Steve. Now, let's pay attention. U.S. Congress and government, let's pay attention. The divine design is a man and a woman. Now, you can, as a society, endorse same-sex marriage, but it's a little bit like defying the divine design. I mean, you could go buy a brand new car that's designed to run on gas and put diesel in it. It's your car. Do what you want to with it. It's your business, I guess. But if you defy the manufacturer's instructions, it's not going to run right. So those instructions are not prohibitions, they're protections. So what does God say? This is the divine design. This is the protection. So here's what we have. God has created family. Satan attacked it, didn't he? In Genesis chapter 3, who shows up? The devil himself, and he attacks the family. And he attacks the family with the same tools that he uses today. He uses deception and division. He told Eve, he said, oh, God just told you a pack of lies. Go eat that apple over there on the fruit tree. It's delicious. It will make you the best you can be. You see, the devil, he's still telling lies to create division. He wants to separate us from God. And what does our sin do? It separates us from God. Well, so the devil deceives to destroy. In John 10:10, we learn the devil's job description is to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm telling you, friends, he is very effectively attacking marriages and families and homes. Do you know that the current divorce rate in Alabama right now, in our state, heavily Christian state, is 54%? In other words, if 1,000 couples get married this year, in 10 years, 540 of those couples will be divorced. Now, that's a decimating statistic. Let me ask you this. If you needed to fly to Dallas this afternoon and you went down to Danley Airfield and you walked up to the American airline counter and you said, I'd like to buy a ticket to Dallas, what if they said you only have a 46% chance of arriving in one piece? Y'all going to take that plane? I'm not. I'd hitchhike before I took that plane. 54% chance of a crash, and yet that's what's happening in the world of marriage right now. You see, the devil is having a heyday. Families are fractured. They're coming apart. As a matter of fact, we're selling fewer marriage certificates than ever before because people are starting to live together. They've kind of given up on marriage. But there's a better way. There is God's way. That's why I want to dial you in to the divine design. Now watch this. Let's come to Ephesians. Because in Ephesians, we pick it up right here in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5. Drill down here. This is so important. It can change the way the rest of your life unfolds. Do not be drunk with wine. That is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit of Jesus. There are three results. Number one, verse 19, you will speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You'll sing and make melody with your heart to the Lord. Number two, you'll give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to God, even the Father. And number three, you will be submissive to one another in the fear of Christ. In other words, you develop a spirit of praise when the Spirit is in you, a spirit of gratitude, and a spirit of humble submission. Now, that's a very interesting word there. Hupotasso is a verb in the middle passive voice. And the meaning is that you do it to yourself. It's a reflexive verb. In other words, you humble yourself. You make yourself submit. It's not like you're being forced to because a master has a whip and he is making his slave humbly serve him. Or you got a gun at your head. No. No, this is voluntary. Chosen submission of two equals submitting. All right, let's get to the specifics. Verse 22, wives, be submissive to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, we're going to return in future studies to the specific job descriptions for a husband and a wife, because I want you to have a stable, healthy family, home, and marriage. But right now, let me give you the ultimate picture. And if you'll focus on verse 21 with me and write this down, mutual submission pictures partnership. Mutual submission pictures partnership. This is everything that you understand, this great truth. Mutual submission pictures partnership. Now, here's what I would have you understand. When God made Adam, and he was alone, and then he constructed Eve, how did he do it? Now, this is not just a random selection. Where did he take that bone from? Did he take it from his foot? I guess he could have taken a foot bone out. You've got a lot of bones in your feet. But then the picture is man would trample over woman, dominate her. But it wasn't a foot bone. He could have taken a bone out of the man's head because a lot of guys are boneheads. They got some extra bones floating around up there. And then that would be a picture of what? The woman using her feminine charms to manipulate and control the man. That's not the picture either. Where did that bone come from? Came from the side. He made a bride from his side. That's a rib bone, and that's a picture of walking through life. The divine design is partners, arm in arm, heart to heart, side to side, the husband and his bride. That's the divine design. You see, it's a picture of mutual submission and partnership. Now, let me show you what that looks like. Partnership looks like this. Let's begin on the same page. You got to begin on the same page. And that means that you have a partner who is a Christ follower. Now, let me verify that with God's Word. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this. And remember, God is real and His Word is true. So you better learn it and live it. Look what it says. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light and darkness? So the goal here is to marry a Christ follower. Tony Evans, who's an African-American preacher in Dallas, and I just love him. Listen to what Tony Evans said about that verse. He said, if you don't marry a child of Christ, you are marrying a child of the devil, which means you will have problems with your father-in-law. You think you got in-law problems? How would you like your in-law, your daddy-in-law, to be the devil himself? Well, that's what you're signing up for. So that's why you don't link yourself to a non-believer. I remember meeting Mary Ruth. We were at Baylor University. Year's 1976, and we met each other at a Bible study on Baylor's campus on Wednesday night. On an occasion not long after that, we went out on a couple of dates, and then we were at a Bible study, and I just picked up her Bible. very intentionally, because I've learned you can tell a whole lot about a person from their Bible. If your Bible looks brand new, that's a bad sign. If your Bible has dust on it, that's a really bad sign. I picked up Mary's Bible, and the cover was kind of torn. I could tell it was dog-eared. I could tell that she'd been reading it because it was all marked up, and she had notes scribbled here and there, and I knew this was a young lady who loved the Lord and loved His Word. She was learning His Word. She was living His Word. And I'm telling you, that hooked my heart when I saw her book. That was the hook. You see, that's the kind of person you want to link your life to, somebody that has a Christian worldview, because your beliefs determine your behaviors. Let me give you one example. For instance, you can't even spell the word faithfulness without the word faith. It's a big problem. A lot of people are committing adultery. They're not faithful. But what is faithfulness linked to? The foundation of faithfulness is faith. So where do you start? You start with your worldview. You start with your walk with Christ and being a person who is completely committed and connected to Jesus Christ. That's the kind of partner that you can trust. So this is the beginning. Set your standard to marry a believer, and that prevents what I call the collision between fantasy and reality. Here's what happens to a lot of people, and I've done over 800 weddings. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen this. A couple will come in, we're preparing for their wedding, and they're starry-eyed, and they've got this glazed look on their face, and they know everything about each other, and they really don't know anything. I mean, it's just like written on their forehead, clueless a lot of times. I mean, honestly. And so here's what's happened. That girl or that guy, they will be physically enamored with that other person. And it's as if they're blinded to all their other attributes and traits. You know how it is. If all you focus on is the physical and not the spiritual or the intellectual or the emotional, you're blinded because of the physical, you've got a big problem. Because right now, she may be tiny and 20, but later she's going to be fat and 40. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, right now he may have wavy hair, but that hair may wave goodbye. You know, I'll see you later, pal. And then you're bald and bulgy. I'm telling you, this is how it works. That's the danger of getting physically involved first with somebody, because it blinds you to the rest of their characteristics and attributes. That's why the Bible says what? You reserve your sexual intimacy until you're married, because it's blinding. You get to know a person spiritually. That's number one. You're connecting spiritually, then you connect intellectually, you connect emotionally, and the physical is the last. That's what God's Word is telling us, and it protects us. Let's go on to the same page and learn to serve others. That's what the same page is going to say. You see, you're never more like Jesus than when you're serving someone else. The Scripture says in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." You see, the goal of a Christian marriage is when you set aside selfishness and you become a Christ-like servant to your partner and to your mate. I was counseling with a couple, and they were telling me about their impending wedding, and they told me something terrific. They said inscribed in their wedding rings was Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 3 to verse 8. And they wanted the theme of the marriage talk that I would do at their wedding to be on the servanthood of Christ. And I thought that was fantastic, because they said, here's our goal. We want to outserve each other. And I said, I love that phrase. I'm going to just borrow it from you, because that's what I want to do for Mary Ruth. I want to know the needs of her life. And with Christ-like love, I want to serve her. You see, that's what it says in Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, He humbled Himself. The word there is kenosis. He drained Himself of deity, and He took on the form of a servant. So that ought to be the theme of your marriage, to serve each other. in the name of Jesus to discover your mate's unique needs and to give yourself to serve them. Let's go to number three. Not only learn to serve each other, but seek to share everything. You see, that's what a mutually submitting partnership looks like. You're sharing everything with your husband or with your wife. When you share everything with your partner, it seems that it makes your joys double and your troubles are cut in half as you journey through this fallen world together, taking care of each other. You see, Jesus affirmed this. Jesus was asked about marriage, and in Matthew 19, verse 4 through 6, there on your worksheet, he quotes Genesis 2. Jesus is affirming God's divine design. And at the heart of the divine design is this call for the two to become one flesh. Oh, you know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of moving from our natural inherent isolation into intimacy. Did you know that's really the constant dance of marriage? The devil pulls us toward isolation and separate selfishness, and God's Spirit calls us to intimacy and connection. That's the dance of marriage. Let me tell you what intimacy really is. When two become one, intimacy is into me see. In other words, transparency. From you, I have no secrets. And transparency, my dear friends, creates trust. God has wired you with a craving in your soul to be totally intimate with another person, to be so trusting of that person, you can be transparent and you can share everything with them. That's what builds trust in a marriage relationship. Let me give you an example. You see, Mary Ruth and I have total intimacy. It's intimacy. I have no secrets. She has no secrets from me. She can read any text message that I've ever received. She has access to all my emails, any website I've ever gone to. She reads all the mail before I get it. You see, we have no secrets. We don't play that game because secrets destroy trust. That's why it's imperative that if you want intimacy with another person, you've got to have complete transparency. And that's the call to share everything. You see, a mutual partnership will not only share your bed and your breakfast and your bills, you'll share your burdens and your blessings. And what happens is you're bonded to each other. You're bonded to Christ and to each other. Well, come now with me, and here's the whole point. Let me just net it out. We're finished. You see, reverence for Christ pictures lordship. Reverence for Christ pictures lordship. And let me complete these thoughts by showing you a diagram that I've been using for years in my marriage counseling with husbands and wives who are preparing to get married or who are having problems in marriage. It's the model for my marriage. You see, at the apex, at the top, is Jesus. The Bible says in John 15, verse 5, Jesus is speaking. He said, I am the vine, you are the branch. Now, if you will stay connected to me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what kind of fruit? Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, let me ask you this. Who among us would not want to be connected to a Christ-like person who is overflowing with love, joy, and peace, and not the opposites? Anybody want to spend your whole life with somebody who is not loving, but they're hateful and they're mean? There's no joy in their life. They're sour. They're negative. They're acidic. Do you want to be around somebody who is self-controlled or out of control? The answer is obvious. You see, that's why a Christian partner is the ultimate partner, because they are releasing the Spirit of Christ every day to you. Now, look how it works out. So you've got a husband, and Romans 8:29 says the goal of life is simply to be conformed to the image of Christ. You've got a wife who has the same goal. She's a Christ follower. And so you've got a Mary Ruth who desires to be conformed to the image of Christ. So as they travel toward Jesus together, the natural corollary is the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to each other. That's how it works. That's what a great partnership looks like, where you have two people mutually submitting to each other, motivated by the fear of Christ or the lordship of Christ. Friends, that's how it works. Now, here's the take-home point. Make a last note. Therefore, submit yourself to the Lordship of Christ. That's the goal of God. That's the goal of this moment. For you to submit yourself to the Lordship of Christ. And that means you voluntarily choose to surrender to Him. Some of you may be thinking right now, well, you know, Jay, it's too late for me. We wanted to make God's masterpiece of our marriage relationship, but it's just become a mess. It's too late for me. I respectfully disagree with you because we serve a living Savior. We serve a Savior who resurrected from the dead. Let's say your marriage relationship is dead. Well, can't Jesus bring it back to life? He seems to specialize in resurrections. Isn't He the carpenter of Nazareth who can remodel that damaged family and home? Do you remember Jesus' first miracle was performed where? At a wedding. And what did He do? He turned water to wine. He transformed water to wine. And that means He has the power to transform your mess into His masterpiece, a family in discord into a family of harmony, a place of sorrow into a place of joy. And that can happen when you submit yourself to His Lordship and you invite Him to be your construction partner. Well, let's pray about it. No, gracious Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word that sets us free. In the middle of this fallen world, there are so many lies. There's so much deception. Father, we thank You for Your protective truth. Lord, would You forgive us for resisting Your Lordship and Your leadership? Lord, forgive us for making a mess out of our relationships. Right now, we ask that You would unleash Your empowering Spirit and move among us, Lord, and transform our messes into Your masterpieces. Right now, Father, we humble ourselves and we submit ourselves and surrender to You. It's in Jesus' name we make this surrender, prayer, and promise. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.